Love is the law. No haters here. It's all love on the Lori and Julia Show. Thanks for listening out there on the radio dial, on the app, on the stream, in the future as a podcaster. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. And thanks for showing up to work, Rocco.
Yeah, thanks.
You've been with us, like, is this our third week?
I think so.
Ooh.
And it feels like it's the dead of winter when you look outside. I mean, it's, like, ridiculous. We are not prepared for the snowpopalopolis.
Oh, damn.
Is the snow done for? I mean, what do we got? Rain today?
We got rain.
We had hail this morning.
A big thunderclap this morning.
Yeah, it's like fall and winter and spring kind of rolled into one because a lot of the leaves are still looking pretty.
So, and mine are still in my gutter because of my association. They're coming like in 2 weeks.
Yes.
So, yeah,
and I feel bad because we were, you know, because of Halloween and everything, we were like, hey, you can, you know, our 9-year-old, we're like, you can have your friends over.
Right.
You can do Halloween things. And like, we're not having anybody over when there's snow and rain.
It's going to be nice next weekend. I feel it.
Yeah, I feel it, too.
I feel it. This is just temporary, people.
I feel like it's going to be a 45 kind of a situation.
It's going to be, Rocco, it's too soon to say.
That's
okay.
Right.
Because
I'm looking.
It's all love on the show.
All right. Well, it's going to be sunny. According to my thing, it's going to be sunny and 36 next Friday and Saturday.
Ooh, 36.
So
just
December.
A warm 36.
36.
But when the sun's shining, it feels like 38.
Happy Halloween.
Woo! But think of some of the freezing Halloweens. I think of packing my kids in so many different liners and long underwear and everything, and they don't care.
Yeah, they just want that candy.
They just want that candy.
I don't know how many people are letting their kids trick or treat. That's a big, that's up for big discussion.
I've got a whole thing in Random Thoughts what to look for if people are and what to do.
Can I just tell you that even though it was a very exciting World Series game because the Tampa Ray Bays came back.
I thought you were going to say Buccaneers for
Rays. Tampa Bay Rays, came back, they showed the Dodgers what's what. It was kind of exciting because I'd like it to go to 7 games.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
And I thought for sure that all the baseball butt would get us crack-a-lackin' on the bowling team.
Oh,
and
you didn't have the, you didn't have
Julia, I couldn't have hit the side of a barn if, you know.
Are you past the point where you will ever go and it just goes straight in the gutter?
No, I don't. That bad of a bowler.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
you're past the gutter ball.
I aim for the arrow, and then the second ball, I aim for the shadow of the pin. That's the technique.
Rocco,
now what? You aim for the first ball, you do what?
I aim for the pin. I just try to be right or left of the center pin.
And you don't have
a
hook,
I'm a straight.
Right?
Yeah. I don't have a hook. I'm just a slow, steady 10-mile-an-hour roller.
Whoa.
Every once in a while, I get
Miss
a flinger
Kitty.
That goes up to 11.
Does it tell you your ball speed?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's so advanced.
Yeah. And then on the second ball, to pick up, if you didn't get them all down, then you aim for the shadow of the pin that you know will take everything down.
Okay, Rocco, do you have that strategy? Because you're a bowler.
I've never used that strategy.
A good one, Rocco. If you can get your hands and eyes to do everything at the coordinated level you see in your mind.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think you have a pretty good average, right? 140-ish?
I have 142. Yeah. I have a 142 average. Last night, 117, 122.
Oh, these are Julia
122,
numbers.
Which if I'd gotten another 122, I would have won a patch for a triplicate.
Oh, you can do that? If you get the same score 3 times?
You get a triplicate patch.
Nice. Do they really give out the actual patches, like Girl Scouts or something?
For that particular effort,
okay,
yes.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. That's very funny.
So anyway, and I mean, a couple people bowled okay, but we couldn't get fired up. We could not get it going. We had fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I had so many terrible splits and I had so many easy misses. And then I thought later, I think I was too distracted by baseball.
Oh, okay. There you go. Does it bother you when you're so bad?
Horrible. I felt horrible after the first game. I let my team down so badly because everybody did well and I just couldn't.
You were just the anchor. You were the old ball and chain last night.
I was
night,
the old
dragging
ball
everyone
and chain.
Down.
Missing my average by 20 pins.
That's pretty bad.
So, you know, next week it'll be like one, whatever. It'll be below 140.
It will be.
Gone down, yeah.
It will be. Rocco, does Bruno bowl?
You know, we were into it for a while, and he had his own ball, and that was actually one of the first sports we ever watched together when we were when he was tiny. We watched some professional bowling on TV
from Sam's Town,
but we haven't done any bowling since the pandemic.
Yeah. It's safe. I mean, you've been talking about it. They split everybody up and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they keep you socially distant.
Yeah, they do.
Plus, if you bring your own ball, you're not doing a lot of touching of other things.
Right.
I'd bring my own sanitizer.
We even desperately ordered tater tots and then served them in little individual dishes, hoping that the hot potato and salt would get us going.
You were that bad. That's all right. Yeah. You got to have a bad night, Laura. You can't be perfect all the time. Okay, so we got this email from Pam, and she says, "Hi, ladies, and Rocco. Catching up on podcasts, and I heard Lori's plan to vote on Election Day." And she goes on to say, "Normally, I'd say, great.
Great.
But if you get a phone call a few days before the Election Day and someone is telling you that you have been exposed to COVID, then what are you going to do?" So
Ghostbusters.
Well, exactly. So this, I thought, was a good idea for people, because look at the weather yesterday or the day before, the snow unexpectedly, today the rain.
Right.
It's so easy to vote in person early in our state. You should do it. And I thought that was a good, because that could be the thing. What if someone is exposed and then you can't go?
Right.
Oh, and then you would feel horrible.
I would feel horrible.
So I thought, thank you, Pam.
All right. I'll get my absentee ballot out or whatever it is. I know right where it is.
Yeah, I had mine waiting, and it's very easy. And I also want you to know, Rocco.
Yes.
You know who you are, she says. She wants to convince Lori and everybody else to vote early, not just you.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying Rocco and sending much appreciation to all of you for the entertainment during these difficult times. So I thought that was really nice, Pam. I'm
glad you're out there.
No kidding. And she's in the future, Rocco, because she listens to the podcast.
So hello, Pam, on next Tuesday.
We'll see you, and Lori's going to take a picture. We'll see if she comes in with the sticker. But I just kind of thought that was a good thing, because it isn't even about you physically getting there. It could be if someone you know was exposed, and then you couldn't go because you would feel so horrible. Yes. So I thought that was a good little thing.
All right, can we just take a second to remember Marge Champion? And
please,
you say, who is she? Well, she was 100 years old, and she's a dancer and an actress from the golden age of movies and Broadway musicals and television shows. She was 101, but her father was this dance teacher, Ernest Belcher, who taught Fred Astaire and Shirley Temple how to dance, and he was very good friends with Walt Disney, and that led the animation team at Disney to work on a movie called Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and they had little Margie Belcher. At 14 years old, she danced for the all-male animation team a couple days a month at $10 a day for 2 years, so that they could sketch out White moved.
Okay, that is, imagine those times when you literally had to have a sketcher and a dancer.
Yes, and she later served as Disney's model for The Blue Fairy and Pinocchio, Hyacinth Hippo and Fantasia, and Mr. Stock and Dumbo. And she was in all kinds of, you know, she was in Showboat with Howard Keel and Ava Gardner. And she was on Broadway, and she had this show with a husband. And her last husband was TV director Boris Segal, married to him for all of 4 years.
At 100? Wait a minute.
No, she married him in 1977. He died in 1981 when he accidentally walked into a helicopter blade on the set of the NBC miniseries World War III. And he was the father of Katie Segal from Sons of Anarchy.
Married with Children.
Married with Children.
Futurama. Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, she was quite a gal. She had quite a life. 101 years old. The inspiration for Snow White. Marge Champion. All right.
Marge Champion.
When we come back, it's our story we can't get enough of.
All those damn bones. Are they good? Are they good with Maureen Maris? She didn't win anything last night, did she, in the good old...
At the same tease, I don't think
who even knew? Who even knew, really, it was on?
We did. We talked about it yesterday.
I know, for a second.
But we did.
Did anyone watch it?
Well, of course. I mean, Julia...
What? Is that the wrong question?
Truly, in so many ways. Rocco, I don't know if you'd like to expand on if
I know you were at bowling, but did you tape it or anything? Rocco? No one? Bueller? All right, no. I'm going to shut up. Mm-hmm. Apparently. Go ahead.
And you it's Maren Morris, not Maren Maris. But yeah, it's, you know, I'll let it slide.
We can tell you're maybe hearing. Maybe you want to tell us about what you did last night, since you seem to have trouble focusing and you're turning quite red right now and asking weird questions out of the blue. Go ahead and enlighten everybody. No, here's what we're going to talk about. I'm
You're such a brat, Lori.
I know.
You're such a brat.
Well, I'm just saying all this absent-mindedness. And windmills of your mind.
God,
I'm just, and now you're sweating.
Have a long day.
You're sweating, and she's taking off clothes. So I've
it's I'm right on now something. Or last night. Or
no,
we
probably both.
Okay,
probably both. But the show we never watched last year, we said we were going to, was Dave. My next guest needs no introduction. It's David Letterman's
yes
one-on-one 1 hour where he sits down and. Because last year wasn't the pandemic, we didn't have as much TV time on our hands.
No, we didn't. We had...
And he kind of, you know, I remember Neil Justin had watched the things and, you know, really liked it because it seemed like David Letterman was really picking people, because it's only like 6 interviews.
Right.
You know, picking people that he had an interest in doing a long form sit down with. And, for this second season, he's got some, you know, again, more fascinating people. But the one where I was like, I am going to make a point of watching that is his sit down with Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
Because whether you love her, hate her, or indifferent, it is amazing, you know, what has happened
in her life. Yeah.
And really since we have known her, which is like whatever, 2008, 2000.
Yeah.
Five, whenever she started popping up with Paris Hilton. So so this is a couple of, I guess we just have one snippet where Kim, David Letterman asked her about the O.J. Simpson case.
Yes.
Because, of course, her father, Robert Kardashian Sr., was on the O.J. Simpson defense team.
And his mom and her mom and dad were friends with OJ and Nicole.
They were couple friends. Like socially always hanging out together.
Yes, and so, kind of neighbors it felt like.
And she's, I don't really know any of them to even talk about it. And I've even seen Kris Jenner. She's always talked around it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't know if it has to do, because I believe she and her husband were separated.
Yes.
At the time. But I've never really heard, like I wondered what that was, because he was like their uncle OJ,
yeah,
to the kid. So I hear David Letterman was also interested. Here we go.
You know, my mom was extremely vocal on her feelings.
What did she think or feel?
You know, she was believed that, you know, her friend was murdered by him, and that was really traumatizing for her. And then we'd go to my dad's house, and it was a whole other situation there. And it would be like Johnny Cochran, Bob Shapiro, my dad, like the whole team. So we didn't really know what to believe or whose side to take as kids, because we didn't want to hurt one of our parents' feelings. And my dad took us to court one day with him, and he took us out of school and didn't tell my mom. And I remember my mom was sitting with Nicole's parents, and Courtney and I were sitting right behind OJ, and we like look over at my mom, and she's like giving us this death stare, like, what are you doing out of school? What are you doing here? And Courtney and I were like, just look straight, do not look at mom. It kind of tore our family apart, I'd say, for the whole time of the trial.
And you're 13 and this happened?
Yeah, 13, 14.
And her mom is remarried to Bruce Jenner.
By the time this happens, during the trial.
Yeah,
can you imagine though that how stressful it would be? This is your faux uncle, OJ.
I mean, I've always kind of wondered about that, and when we went through our period of time, like watching The People versus OJ,
right.
And you know, it didn't get into any of Robert Kardashian's
personal life,
not too much, but you did get the thing from the way David Schwimmer played him that there were
conflicts.
Doubts and conflicts.
Yes.
With he knew.
Totally. Rocco, did you ever watch that?
I did. I liked that a lot. But yeah. You're right. Yeah. I could tell he was like, I think my buddy did it.
Conflicted. And then, but you're already hired and you're
yeah.
in it. And
so I'm interested to hear her. And he, of course, was legitimately, you know, fascinated and wanting to talk to him. She also shared with him,
David Letterman,
that she talked about the Paris robbery And
I heard that audio, Lori.
Yeah. And she basically, I mean, they even did like a test drill. Like if she were to be robbed, she just settled with that, the security company, okay, like yesterday.
So
for
did they
incident.
Do a test drill before she even had been on this trip?
What did she say? Here, let me get it. Well, here, she was also once mistaken for her father's mistress. That happened to her.
Well, who is, hasn't that happened to you? You've been mistaken for your dad's girlfriend.
Hard copy identified her as the mistress pulling into his house.
Well, that's hysterical.
And her getting out of the car. Okay. And her sister, she did admit to David Letterman that Kendall and Kylie don't know who he is.
Who is?
David Letterman.
Well, that's hysterical because they're so much younger. Okay, yeah. That's hysterical.
And she did go over a potential robbery scenario the day of her Paris robbery. She told Letterman that in October of 2016, when she was held at gunpoint in her hotel, mm-hmm. She said, my girlfriends and I had had lunch that day, and they said, if you guys were robbed, what would you do? Would you just give them the stuff? And I said, yes, I would just say, take everything, just take everything. And then that night I ended up being robbed.
Well, it's really raw. I mean, because I think Jason played it on his TV show, and she talks about there was, you know, they came into her room and she's just in a bathrobe with nothing underneath it. And she thought she's getting raped.
Yeah.
She didn't know what was happening. She was so worried her sister was going to go home from the wherever they were out and about and find her dead. I think this is compelling, and it's on Netflix. It's Conversations with Dave or something like David Letterman, something like that. But I really want to watch this one.
My next guest needs my introduction. So Kim Kardashian sounds like a lot of good stuff is covered. All right, listen, we come back. We have a treat for everybody. Sue Zelikson is joining us.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We are delighted to have Twin City, an icon, Sue Zelikson joining us. And Sue is a big foodie, a philanthropist beyond belief, started the Twin Cities Charlie Awards, former TV and radio host.
Hey. Hi, Sue.
And
hi, guys.
And she's shorter than me. I'll never forget, Sue. The first time we met you, I think it was at a Broadway show at the Orpheum or something, and I'm like, wow, she's shorter than me.
I'm tall.
I know. And your signature look, people have read you probably Minnesota Monthly for years and seen you around town, and I just thought,
what's your signature look?
Round glasses, beautiful hair, and beautiful clothes, right?
Oh my gosh, you guys.
Oh my gosh.
Julie, how tall are you? Because I've shrunk since I've seen you.
So is Julia.
I am too. I was.
I wanted to know.
I know. I you started at 5'2", and I think it says you're 4'8".
I'm 4'7" now.
Oh no, honey, is that how little we're gonna get? We're just gonna be little people.
You know, it doesn't ever make sense. The tall people never get shorter. The shorter people always do.
It seems so wrong, right? Okay, you're just a little peanut.
I know. I can't reach the top shelf in the grocery store anymore.
You know what? It's an issue. I stand on a lot of shelves to get up to things in grocery stores, in Target, or
It'd
something like that.
It'd be a good way to meet people, though. Like, you just ask people to, you know, get things for you.
Right. You stand there looking forlorn, and some handsome guy who walks by that's really tall, and then you meet him.
Yeah.
Right? And we've read. That would be a good way to meet people. Okay, so Sue, you know, you were kind of instrumental in having us talk with Shirley Hutton last week, and that was just so much fun. And I was just thinking, go ahead.
It was delightful. It was delightful. She was so darling, and her book that she wrote is just fabulous.
It really is fabulous.
It made me want to write a book now, so maybe I'm going to do that too.
Well, okay, so speaking of that, you know, you have edited a ton of cookbooks for charity and other things, and you've never written your own book?
No, I've written a couple cookbooks, but not my grandma book like she did.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that might be I don't know. We'll have to talk about that. Well, writing a book is hard.
Lori and I, people would always tell us when we first started, just write a book, it'll get you more coverage and stuff. And then we're like, how? Who wants to do that?
Yeah, well.
And by the way, I can't write.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of things going on with that.
Just details. So you have been. Go ahead.
You two are so funny. You could just take all the quotes out of your quotes out of your shows and put them in a book.
You know what?
Stories.
I've got notebooks upon notebooks.
Julia has been prolific with our note keeping. I mean, how would you construct a book? Have you been a journal keeper? Would you go back and look at like your columns, you know, that you've done? Because that right there would be a great diary as far as, you know, knowing what was going on.
I think you guys should do that. I think that's an excellent idea.
We're talking about you. We're talking about your book now, Sue.
No, I'm talking about your book.
I know.
Well, maybe we should do it together. Okay.
Okay, that would be fun. All right, so, you know, you are, I think, are you 82?
I'm 6.
You're 86?
I'm 86. I'm catching up to Sid.
Yeah. Wow. You know, and it's... You're so inspirational because you still are doing charitable things. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. And I just thought it would be nice for people in the Twin Cities to, you know who you are.
Well, Sue, you're like an ageless person.
You are.
To me. I remember even the first time I met you, I just thought, oh, you just like glow. You just you've always just had that great energy. And I've never associated like any age with you, if that makes sense.
Well, I used to be called an energizing bunny, but I think I've lost a few of my batteries lately. It doesn't work so well anymore.
Well, you know, you got to slow down at some point.
So did you, like in the, you know, because you know, like the restaurants and chefs, I mean, you know, all that kind of stuff. And having started the Charlie Awards, I mean, have you ever seen any, is there anything in your lifetime that compares to right now what the restaurant world is going through?
You know, right now what the world is going through altogether, you couldn't even make it up.
Mm-mm. Right?
You couldn't, it's just unreal. And every aspect, there's not, you keep looking for the silver lining, and what silver lining? It's tarnished.
Right.
And right now you don't even see any way it can sparkle again. It's just, I hate to be a downer, but I mean, every day you think, what shoe's going to fall next?
Mm-hmm. You've never. I mean, the restaurants, no one has ever been in this dire of a situation.
Well, we didn't have the affluence that we have now that
right.
such a crash. I mean, we've never this high.
Right.
So the drop is lower. Because when you think back of even how people cooked before, I'll never forget when I went on a trip, a food trip, and we went to Pennsylvania where they took us into all these old homes that showed the hearths where the people cooked, and they had the big iron pots, and the ladies had to lift the pots to put that on, you know, on the hearth to cook and hang things outside and everything. And at that time, it was just when Pilates was starting.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, in those days, you didn't have to do those things. Just your everyday work was that way. And nobody went out to eat. Everybody cooked at home. And so the drop that we're having now is so much bigger than mm-hmm. we would have had years ago. You know, they were used to hard times. We've been spoiled.
We have been spoiled. You're right about that. You know, again, this might be a good time to write a book. So
because we're home anyway doing nothing.
That's right. That's right. So one of the things, you know, because you started the Charlie Awards, which mm-hmm. awards local restaurateurs, chefs, people in the food community with the special awards. And what year is this year going to be?
I think this is our
10th.
Oh, my goodness. I should know, shouldn't I?
9th or 10th?
My head. 9th or 10th.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you, you know, and this is something that has been fun, Lori, and I have been to it. People mm-hmm. love it. But you started it, kind of it's named after Charlie's Exceptional restaurant that used to be downtown mm-hmm. Minneapolis.
Right. And the reason I started it is that Scott Mayer, who was doing the Ivy Award honoring the people on stage and all our theaters and everything. I walked out of one of those, which I just loved. They were wonderful, which they are no more, but everybody misses them. But I said to him, so why can't we do something like this for the food industry? They work just as hard as the actors and actresses, and in fact, they feed us. So we talked a little bit, and Archie was standing there too, and the mayor, and he said, that's a great idea. So we got together and put on this thing, and it was going on, I think. Isn't that funny? I've got a blank on how many years, but I know it's been a few years. And then we just passed it on to the editors of to Nancy Weingarten Monroe at Food Service News. So it's still going on. Scott and I are still part of it, but not. We don't have to do all the work anymore.
Well, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that restaurant, Charlie's Exceptional, though.
Do you remember that?
I do. I do. Lori, I don't know.
I didn't live here then, I don't
Rocco,
think.
You were probably too young.
Yeah, it was closed by the time I was...
But what was so special about that restaurant that you named the Wards after that restaurant?
Well, it was an icon of a restaurant, when you used that word earlier. People would go there for special occasions, the business people, and then also people that had anniversaries and so forth. And they were just known to be the hospitable place in downtown Minneapolis. And I still remember that at the Charlie Awards, we tried to serve some of the things that they were famous for. And one was their potato salad, which they wouldn't give the recipe out for years. And then somebody at the Star Trip got it. And now it's all over the place. But things like that, it was a steak restaurant. It was expensive for those times. In fact, we got some of the old menus that we had, and we couldn't believe the prices. They were so low, like $3.95 for a steak dinner or something. And that's what I'm saying. The crash was much smaller in years ago. But it turned out that we wanted to honor, that was the main thing, the chefs and the restaurateurs who do so much in the nonprofit world that people don't even know about. Every time something's going on, we go to a chef or a restaurant and say, can you donate? Can you donate? And they always do, and they're still doing it, even in these hard times.
Yes, they are. And do you have a couple fundraisers or virtual events that are coming up?
Yeah, in fact, there's one this Sunday, but it sold out. It was wonderful. We're doing something for the cookie carts. There's two cookie carts, one in St. Paul and one in Minneapolis now.
Yep,
that's a great organization.
It really is. It trains kids in a good vocation rather than having them get in trouble. So they come to the cookie cart and learn skills on marketing and cooking and baking and all kinds of things and working with people. I always say when you walk into a cookie cart, when the door opens, the kids come springing out of the. It's like the Pavlov syndrome or something, how the kid just comes right out to wait on you. So they've learned a lot of good skills. But anyway, they both are, we've been doing a fundraiser for like 15 years, but it was usually a sit-down dinner and a silent auction and all that. And you can't do that anymore. So many of the organizations have changed their ways of doing things. And this time, all the chefs we asked to donate a meal said yes. And there's about 10 of them, like Crave and the Grocer's Table and just a ton of restaurants. Everybody we asked, Good Day Cafe and the Mill City Kitchen, Mill Valley Kitchen. Anyway, they've all said yes, and they're making meals, and then we pick them up. The people that were picked up the meals and bring it to their home and then watch a video about the cookie carts and eat the meals. But every restaurant is doing it.
And like you said, the restaurant community is the one that picks up the pieces. I mean, we've had that. Yes. We've heard that since the beginning of COVID, and helping make meals, helping pack meals, helping do everything, and it's such a giving, it's such a great community. Is there anything else that you want to highlight?
I want to know about the Susie cookies.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, I did that for it was a fundraiser for Prospectus Family Center. And it was just a recipe that was a fake recipe. Well, not a mistake recipe that I did when I was growing up. I had a grandma who was a fabulous cook and she never measured. So I thought, well, when I can bake, I can not measure too. And my first batch of cookies came out like a lace cookie, you know, the real thin. And it turned out to be fabulous. So luckily I ran into some people, I think from General Mills, that helped me put it was so long ago, I can't even remember, that helped me put a formula together. And then we put them in a box. And one of my friends from Women Who Really Cook, Sheila Mullen, made a fancy box for me. And so did we put it in there. And the only problem was I had to deliver them myself. And as I got older, it was just too hard to carry these around to different stores. Oh, so now I'm not doing it anymore.
I'm looking at the box, and it's my kind of cookie. Flour, really, just gooey, crunchy. It looks so good, Sue. So if you're just trying to, if we're talking to Sue Zelix, and we only have like a minute left, Sue. I just want to thank you for your contributions to everything. And you're so upbeat and positive and write the book. And we miss seeing you out and about.
Everybody, you know.
I know. That's the saddest thing about it. One of the sad things. I said we could add that to the list.
Add it to the list. Just we miss seeing each other.
To see our friends. Mm-hmm. Right. So the minute we get everything lifted and it's safe, let's go do lunch and I'll bring you some cookies.
I promise. Because I'm looking at them right now and I've got a sweet tooth. It was just so nice to talk to you, honey. Is there anything else that you want people to know about?
I just want to tell you that I'm so thrilled you got Rocco with you because he's fabulous. I used to work with him at CCO, and he was the best. And so, and I can't even believe he's got a son that old.
That's right.
Can you believe? And you guys are James Beard Award winners. We've heard about
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. He was my producer then, so that was perfect. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But thank you again for having me on. And yes, let's all write our books. That will be fantastic, especially to look back on all the good times we've had together.
No kidding. Well, thank you. And we love Rocco, Sue.
Oh.
Okay.
We do. Thanks, honey. It's so nice to talk to you, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, dear.
Bye. Okay. We'll be right back. For hanging out with us on this dreary, gloomy Thursday that looks like another month, but yet is in fact October. We're shaking our fist at you, but I did talk with a friend last night at bowling about, we were like, well, you know what? It quit snowing here in the middle of March.
It did. We got so lucky with spring and summer. I mean,
right when the pandemic happened, when the first lockdown happened, remember there was no more winter. And I remember we were all brave because we just thought it was going to be like a month or something. Mm-hmm. So innocent. And but I remember you and I were going, oh, at least the winter ended.
And it was sunny.
Because everyone was canceling, trips.
Yeah,
right and left. We had just come back from Vegas, and we were on right on the cusp of. I mean, like a couple days later, they shut it down, and so we were like, okay. So we had an early goodbye to winter, and so what you're saying, we're getting an early hello to winter, and she said, yeah, that's how it works. I'm just like, oh, for crying out loud.
We're in Minnesota. We can't get a whole year.
Yeah, I know exactly.
No, we can't. But I will say, I was grateful for all the sunshine we had. Because we got a lot of it when we needed it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was wonderful.
That was the thing that like kind of gave us our little pep in our step because we were all having to walk outside and it was kind of...
Looking for teddy bears in the windows, the rainbows in the windows, and thinking of all the walks,
but
waiting for tennis nuts to be put
out. The snow was melting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that, Rocco?
Yep, a lot of outdoor walks. Yeah,
but right away, I mean, normally,
March it's a wet month.
It's snowing all the time. Okay. All right. So you asked about the CMT awards, Julia, earlier. Like, oh my God, didn't we just have the ACMs or the CMAs?
Yeah.
So the CMTs are, it's a fan-based thing. So
that's like
why
the People's Choice.
Yes, exactly. All right, which is now the E's Choice Awards. Okay, people has lost it. They no longer want to pay to have fans vote on shows, but
because no one watches it.
Yeah, basically, and so they just really, this is a show that leaned. It was outside. It was in the great outdoors. Some of it was outside. It was in Nashville.
Okay,
and it was just 2 hours. It was mostly like the young people. I mean. Noah Cyrus is her sister's sister. She appeared on stage dressed in an outfit from Miley's closet. Completely, basically.
Did you see it, Rocco?
I'm looking right now.
Oh, yeah, we posted basically all the fashion. No clothes. It's like Fredericks of Hollywood meets Dollywood.
Yeah, it's
because she's got the hat and the long Crystal Gayle hair, and then she's got a nude illusion suit on and glitter over. All the pertinent kibbles and bits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she looked really pretty, I thought.
Oh, I think she looks really
because
pretty.
Because she was an growing into her looking looks. Girl.
Yeah, she's growing into her looks.
Yeah, because she was like an amazingly cute little kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But how many of us have she's like had all of her awkward things out in the public.
Yes, she has.
So anyway, she went into Miley's closet and said, let's do Fredericks of Hollywood meets Dollywood. And she's really getting all the headlines for the CMTs. Carrie Underwood won like her 1,000th CMT.
She had video.
No, it was her 22nd. It was her 22nd. I'm just trying to give it to you. Sarah Hyland was the host, our Modern Family gal. And
like
she changed like 8 times in 2 hours. And I liked all of her outfits. She was kind of a cute little host.
She's darling as a person, too.
Yeah.
She's darling.
Kelsey Ballerini looked like she cracked open a disco ball, and all of a sudden we were...
he put it on, and it didn't have pants?
No, but I think we were... I think the camera was in L.A. I think it was in Hollywood, and Halsey. They were doing at a dive bar.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened. That was one thing. She performed the other girl, and it kind of looked like a... I don't know. It looked like faintly reminiscent of Coyote Ugly.
Yes, Lori, that is such a good,
You know what they were going for? So it was in Shania Twain performed all the way from Switzerland. She wore a cream fringe vest over a leopard print blouse, which looked like something Lisa Rinna would be hawking on QVC. No, Julie, does that sound good?
Well, it's all about the fringe, you told me.
Well, I know, but let me finish. She had sparkly silver pants tucked into a different shade of silver boots. Trey, whore.
You're so funny.
Anyway, but her fashion, that right there was so bad. It was like, you know, somebody, she's Shania, you know. I know she's in Switzerland, but girl, call up Tina. She could look
Call up Tina. Oh, you're such a brat.
She's just a chalet over. She would have told you to lose something.
One of these things doesn't belong here. All right, so that
happened. And then Taylor Swift she gave the award for Breakthrough Video of the Year, and she had a black turtleneck and bangs that looked like she cut them herself when she put like that tape you used to put on your forehead.
So and your then bangs would stay straight?
Well, no, it would kind of give them a little curl.
They looked, and Lori said, Rocco,
she's
looks
got
like
tape
me.
Bangs.
She looks like me.
I've given myself those bangs that Taylor Swift. I desperately wanted bangs, and I just realized I have curly bangs, and I think my auntie, who was 4 years older, gave me like this tape.
Oh, that aunt.
And a pair of scissors.
Where is that aunt?
Oh, somewhere in California. Anyway, and then there are a bunch of young dudes. Yeah, kind of cute.
Okay, that was your review of a show that no one watched.
Yeah, basically. So I watched.
Check out the fashions online.
Yeah, look at the fashion.
Holly posted them.
I saved you 2 hours. You really didn't miss much, you know.
I would agree 100%.
Yeah, but and Blake and Gwen got their first joint CMT award, so it was a real big day for them.
That's kind of cute. That's kind of.